Hey everyone, and welcome to Cocktails and Classics. My name is Dylan, and with me I have Zach.
Hey.
Carlos.
What's up, everyone?
Ben.
Hey.
And Cameron.
Hey everyone.
If you don't know what we do here, each episode we force our friend Cameron, who hasn't seen many classic movies, to watch one. And we all drink cocktails inspired by the movie. We give you the recipe, so hopefully you try it too, and we dissect the movie after and pick Cameron's brain. So this week's episode is Airplane, a 1980s film directed by Jeremy Zucker, David Zucker, and Jim Abrahams, starring Robert Hayes, Julie Haggerty, and Leslie Nielsen. And to kick this thing off, I'm going to pass it over to Carlos, who's the makeshift bartender for this whole podcast, and he's going to give us a recipe.
What's up, everyone? So this week for our podcast here, we're obviously looking at Airplane. You know, obviously on airplanes, they serve any alcohol, any liquor of choice in the small airplane shooters. We are doing the same here on this week's episode. So I have here my mini margarita. It's a pre-mixed margarita mix. All I have to do is add the tequila, and it is a terrific mixture. So any small bottles you folks have that you want to give a shot and make your favorite cocktail, go ahead. Dylan, what are you drinking today?
So I'm drinking a daiquiri. I got a packet of sugar, a few little lime wedges, and a little tiny, single shot bottles of Bacardi rum. Mix that all together over some ice. Pretty good. Cam, what are you drinking?
Why, thank you for asking, Dylan. So I'm going with a classic. So when I've traveled internationally, was the first time I found out they sometimes give you free alcohol on planes, which was awesome. And so I ordered then what I'm drinking now, which is a classic whiskey and Coke. So it's pretty simple. You just get the small little shooter of whiskey, whichever one they have, and then a can of Coke, and then you just mix the two to whatever you want. Zach, how about you? What are you drinking?
Yeah, so similar. Also a whiskey and Coke. Shout out to my friend Carson, who gave me this massive set of Jim Beam mini liquor bottles. So I'm cracking those open tonight. That was a solid Christmas gift. Ben, what about you?
Yeah, I have a couple different random mini liqueur bottles sitting around, and all of them went with coffee, so I'm making a couple different versions of kind of a makeshift red eye. I've got some butterscotch schnapps, I've got some fireball, and some other stuff that hopefully will mix in well with the coffee and keep me up for the rest of the night.
So again, everyone, if you want to go ahead and try any of these recipes, feel free to check out any of the liquors of your choice. Mix it up really well. Remember, they're small airplane shooters for today in honor of Airplane. So if you want to clear out any of those tiny liquor bottles from five Christmases ago, maybe they've been crowding your liquor cabinet. Again, as a reminder, you can find a link to any recipes we post in the show notes.
Thanks, Carlos. If you make one of these cocktails, send a picture of it to us or tag us on Instagram at Cocktails and Classics Pod. We'd love to see those and hear your thoughts. We're going to take a quick break. Feel free to take this time, maybe pause, and make one for yourself so you can drink along with us. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit about my pre-movie knowledge and Airplane's classic movie status.
Welcome back. Hoping you got your cocktails in hand, let's take a collective sip. Ah, pretty good. Airplane is a comedy film about Ted Stryker, played by Robert Hayes, who follows his ex, Elaine, played by Julie Haggerty, onto the flight that she's working as a flight attendant. Elaine doesn't want to be with Ted anymore, but when the crew and passengers fall ill from food poisoning, all eyes turn to Ted. So this film has a 7.7 out of 10 on IMDb and a 78 Metascore. Pretty good reviews, actually. And I think it's like an all-time great comedy, personally. It has amazing jokes per minute. The great Leslie Nielsen just fucking knocks it out of the park, rest in peace. And he just kills it as he always does. And every time I come back to this movie, I realize a new joke. Like, there's just some detail I missed the previous time I saw it. And just something I love about a great movie is that next time you come back, there's something new. Eyes are opened again. And so I want to know from Zach, Ben, Carlos, who have seen this film, do you guys have any nostalgic memories, any thoughts about the film, and anything that you love or hate or like...
I think one thing that's great about this movie, like you said, with the jokes per minute, but it's also so goddamn quotable. I know my family quotes this movie all of the time. I don't want to say any because I don't want to spoil it for Cameron coming into it, but yeah, this movie just, there's so much that I know Cameron, after watching this, he's going to catch himself quoting it and be like, where do I know that? Oh, or I'm guessing there might also be ones that Cameron's heard people say to him that he's been like, what the fuck are they talking about? And now it's gonna kind of click in for him. But yeah, I think that's one of the things that makes this movie so good is the fact that there's just so many zingers that you can quote to just about anybody, and there's one for almost every situation.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite movies. I've seen this movie probably over 100 times. It's so funny. It's actually kind of overwhelming because of how fast the jokes come. You can like watch this movie 100 times and you're always going to find something new. Super, super entertaining. I don't know, Carlos, what do you think?
I mean, I gotta agree. My parents were huge fans of this movie as well, and really before I even watched the movie for the first time, they were the ones who were kind of telling me the jokes, and they were asking, you know, oh, have you seen the movie yet? Have you seen the movie yet? Finally got around to watching it, and man, those jokes hit. I mean, they're hilarious. Even for, you know, for the movie being in a different era of comedy, I mean, there's a lot of good content, and but obviously some of the jokes are going to be a lot different than probably what you'd see in cinema today. Very different. I'm not going to give anything away.
Think about 1980.
Exactly. So standards were a little different for comedy movies, but you know, the content still holds up. A lot of quotable, a lot of quotable lines from a lot of memorable characters. So I'm excited for Cameron to get a chance to watch this one and see what he thinks.
Have you seen the movie yet? Have you seen the movie yet? Mom, I'm 8 years old. No, I haven't seen the movie yet. It's PG-13.
It's actually PG.
This PG is in the 80s.
It's before PG-13.
It's either PG or R, okay? That's why you get to see face melting in Indiana Jones as a 10-year-old.
Which again, different era of comedy made certain things, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, this movie's PG is definitely a stretch. Without giving anything away, this is a hard stretch of PG.
Yeah, this is definitely back in the day where you could get away with a lot in PG that today would be like, no, hard R.
It's one of those movies that, you know, it's part slapstick. It's part, like, cerebral comedy. It's part wordplay. It's not just, like, one or the other, you know? So it's definitely got that beauty. And what I want to ask you, Cam, is what do you know about this movie? What do you know? I mean, obviously I said the plot a little bit, but what do you know going in to the film?
Yeah. So I honestly don't really know anything about the plot, other than what you already said. I've obviously seen some of the memes around the movie. Like the meme of basically the like line of people going to slap that girl and like shake her or whatever in her seat. With like different text on each person. I've seen one in relation to this year, actually, related to all the stuff that's happened already, in 4 months. I've heard the, surely you can't be serious line. And I'm pretty sure that one comes from this movie, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes, it does.
No spoilers.
Well, no maybe. Spoilers, You'll but, that line does come from this movie. But yeah, honestly, like, I haven't really heard a lot about it. Like, I don't know, my parents didn't really tell me anything about this movie, or, like, I don't know. I assume they've seen it, but I've never heard, like, I've heard of the movie, but I haven't really heard anything about it.
Cameron, do you know of any famous actors in the film?
Other than the three that I said? Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only one I know is Leslie Nielsen. I don't know if I've actually seen a movie with him in it. I'd have to look it up. I mean, I've heard he's really funny, like, you know, one of the best, like, you know, old school comedic actors in a movie. But I don't think I've seen one.
What are your expectations heading into the film?
Well, you said that it was your one of your most favorite comedy movies of all time, so it better be pretty damn good. I'm going to be really disappointed if it sucks. But I think it'll be good. I think it'll be funny. You are a tough critic, so if you like this movie, then it's probably good. Or maybe it's only for hipsters. It could really go either way.
Oh no. Tough critic. Last week the guy gave Jurassic Park like a 9.
I know. That's what I was about to say. I was gonna be like, yeah, as far as tough critic goes, like, I've given Jurassic Park like a 9 or something, and this movie I think of very fondly right now. So, like, I mean, maybe upon watching it again, like the last time I saw it was maybe, God, I don't know, a couple years ago. I was living with Jared at the time, so it had to be 2 or 3 years ago.
But, all right, I've seen this movie this year in 2020.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Really?
And you, I love
wow,
this movie.
That's
yeah.
crazy. Wow.
I think it's been about, oh man, maybe at least like 7 or 8 years since I've seen it. It was definitely before college. I know that, but anything other than that, I probably saw on, you know, any sort of like throwback TV that was, if it was airing on TV or you know, somehow on a streaming service, maybe checked it out since then. But I think since the whole movie, yeah, at least 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, I think...
You know what? I'm just kidding. I have seen this movie, so we can't do this episode.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding. I haven't. I'm just kidding. Anyway, sorry, Ben, you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I think the last time I saw this movie was maybe freshman or sophomore year of college. But it's been a while. But I like I said, it's so quotable that I feel like I watched it not that long ago.
So I'm looking at, I'm looking online right now. Bravo said it's the 6th funniest movie out of 100 funniest movies. Channel 4 out of Britain in a survey said it was the 2nd funniest film of all time behind Life of Brian. Empire said it's one of the 500 greatest films, and it was also voted the number one in the top 50 funniest comedies ever. So we're currently watching Airplane, and we're going to watch it on Showtime. It's available as of recording, and it goes until May 31st, 2020. So if you want to watch it, pause, go there, 7-day free trial. You know, maybe a little watch. Maybe watch some Showtime After Dark. Who knows, you know? So pause here. Watch the film. Pick the podcast up right after. If you don't, keep on listening. But sit back and enjoy Airplane. Welcome back, everybody, from the 1980s classic Airplane. Hope you been sipping this entire time, because we have... Damn. Airplane, comedy film directed by Jerry Zucker, David Zucker, and my boy Jim Abrams, who would later go on to direct Naked Gun, Hot Shots, and Scary Movie 2 and 3, I believe.
Really?
So, yeah.
Solid of the
yeah.
Scary Movie franchise.
Pretty, no, those were good Scary Movie movies. Film. Like, they definitely Ooh. Fell apart after 3, but those ones were good.
4 was okay. That was the War of the Worlds one, right?
It was the one with Charlie Sheen. I don't know if you qualify that as a good or bad movie.
Yeah, it was before Tiger. It was pre Tiger Blood. Charlie Sheen, though.
Yeah.
Well, that and Leslie Nielsen is the president, I think.
Yes, actually, yeah, yes. You're right. Yeah, yes.
Oh my
president.
God, I have seen a Leslie Nielsen movie. Then I've seen Scary Movie 4.
If you've seen number 3, it's the one where the aliens come down and they're like,
yeah, that's
they're
where
like,
they pee
they're
with
like,
their fingers.
They're like, oh, if you think that's weird, you should see how we pee. And then Leslie Nielsen just looks up, he's like, so we're not that different. He starts pissing out of his finger.
Wait, was that 3 or 4?
It's number
that was
3.
3.
Yeah.
Oh,
3.
Okay.
Jim also wrote the movie Top Secret, which if you guys haven't seen, I highly recommend it if you enjoy just the same kind of outlandish comedy. Top Secret. It's got Val Kilmer. He plays kind of a spy, and it's kind of like a 1950s movie, but it's just filled with just outlandish, completely out there humor. But it's very much in the same vein as Airplane. It's very good. I recommend it if you haven't seen it.
Throw it on the list.
Well, I don't know that I'd consider it a classic, to be perfectly honest, but
so watch it in my off time. Don't watch it at work. Watch it
at work.
But I do definitely recommend it as
I
one
wish
of those
this was
movies
work.
That
sit
that
and
very
drink
much.
And watch movies and just talk about it. That'd be great.
So, Airplane is a 1980s comedy about Ted Stryker, who follows the love of his life, Elaine, onto a plane they encounter a sickness on the plane, and Ted needs to pilot the plane because there's not another pilot on the plane, but Ted Stryker was a pilot in World War II? Nam? I believe
that'd be Vietnam. Yeah.
They never say Vietnam? What war okay.
They don't see any war, yeah. And they also show some flashbacks from questionable eras. The
1890s? like pre-cars?
Right.
The Wright brothers?
I was going to say the yeah. Wright brothers flying planes, yeah. But based on the 80s, it's probably Nam.
Ted was a pilot in a previous war, and... The pilot crew or the flight crew, I guess, all have come down with a sickness from eating the fish, and Ted is put into the hot seat by having to land the plane with the help of a former pilot in his like squadron. This film, oh my god, is just laugh after laugh after laugh. I swear, oh my god. I mean, Zach took a freaking count of how many times Cameron laughed this entire movie.
So, Cameron didn't know that. We just now talked about it before we hit the record button and started recording the second part of this podcast. But, Cameron, do you want to guess? I know how many jokes total are in the movie.
Okay.
Do you want to guess how many times you laughed?
Okay, well, the movie's about an hour and a half, so I don't know.
And this is just per joke, so like if you laugh two or three times at a joke,
right. Okay, so here's the thing. I don't know. I don't want to go with a super high number because that makes the number seem really impressive, like, or unimpressive if it's super low. So I think I'm going to say 50.
You think it? All right. Oof! You laughed 166 times during this movie. out of a total of 222 jokes that are in this movie.
Wow!
You caught like three quarters of them.
Wow!
Which means if you watch it one more time, maybe you'll catch the other like 25%. So there were jokes you missed. That's the thing.
What was the number? The jokes. 100 and what?
166 out of 222.
166.
There's so many goddamn jokes in this movie. So many gaffes. So many little signs. It's like you can't go a second without paying attention if you want to catch every single joke that happens in this movie.
I'm not gonna lie. I thought I undercut my number by like a little bit, but I didn't realize by like a factor of three.
Yep.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's what I was. That's what I was talking about. There's so much humor, like, in this film. There's so many, like, laughs per minute in this movie that, like everything could be taken, like, literally, and it's counted as a joke. Like, there's the whole, like, oh, what's a cockpit? Well, it's where the pilots are, but that's not important right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of recurring jokes in it. Like, there are just so many, like, things that they would just come back to. And those are things I actually like about comedies nowadays is recurring jokes, especially like in sitcoms where they have a joke and then like maybe like, you know, even like multiple seasons later, they come back to it and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But yeah, like the running gags were really funny.
So around here, we have a bit of a tradition. So to kick off the second half of the show, Zach will come on and he gives us a bit of a quiz, kind of like two truths, one lie. Kind of a deal. And so feel free to play along at home if you want, and I'm going to pass it on to Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Dylan. So this one's primarily for Cam, but everybody can participate. I'm going to go ahead and kick it off. So first up, we have, we know the Zucker brothers directed this Airplane 1. After the great success of Airplane 1, they would go on to direct Airplane 2, which would then be released in 1982. Okay. Next up, David Letterman actually auditioned for the role of Ted Stryker in the film, sort of main character. And last up, the song Stayin' Alive was used by the Bee Gees. The Zucker brothers actually had to call the Bee Gees and get permission to speed up the song by 10% to use it for the bar scene.
Hmm,
So three statements out there. We got the Zucker brothers directing Airplane 2 in 1982, Letterman auditioning for the role of Ted Stryker, and getting the Bee Gees' permission to speed up the song by 10%.
Okay, so let me think about this. So none of those... The directing one seems plausible. Who did you say auditioned for the role?
David Letterman.
David Letterman. See, that seems so obscure. That'd be a weird thing to make up. And then they had to call the Bee Gees for permission to speed up the song. But I did notice that when the fight scene was playing, I did notice how it was sped up. And so weirdly enough, I'm going to say that the first one's the lie. The directors, they didn't direct number 2.
Okay.
Or the year was wrong. I don't know. I'm going to say number 1.
Okay. Do you want to go around, Dylan? You want to guess next and then we'll popcorn from there?
I'm also going to say number 1, I think. David Letterman was at like his prime at that time, so I also think number 1. The BG song did sound a little bit fast, so I'm going to agree with Cam.
All right, Ben, what do you think?
I'm going to say number 1 as well. I'm going to assume that the studio probably, after the success of Airplane 1, thought we need to do a second one, and the directors kind of were like, no, we kind of shot our load on the first one.
Jesus Christ, oh, man.
That was some 1980 PG language, Ben. Moses, I don't know if you Malone. Can
include that. Okay, fine.
Cut off that guy's microphone. Cut it off. Carlos, what do you think?
Include that. I don't think you can use shoot your load in a podcast and it go okay.
I disagree, but whatever. Carlos, what's your guess on this quiz?
I'm gonna go with the first one too, just because the David Letterman one doesn't strike me as something that would happen for him, especially like given his career in the 80s. And yeah, with the bar scene, like I felt like not only was it sped up, but the tonality of the song did not seem like it was like the original track. So I'm gonna go with go with the first one. I'm agree with Dylan and Cam on this one.
So wait, just to be clear, you said that the thing with Letterman wouldn't have happened to him, so you're not gonna pick that one. Am I understanding that
I'm
right?
I'm picking the
truth. The truth and a lie.
Yeah.
I only lied once.
Yeah. So yes.
I'm picking the Letterman one, saying that
Letterman. Yeah. No, wait. That's 2.
That's
two.
The second one.
Letterman is 2.
All right. You think the Letterman thing's not true?
Yeah. I'm gonna say Letterman on this one is a lie.
All right, you bandwagoners. So the Letterman thing was true. Letterman did actually audition for the role of Ted Stryker.
Why?
Zucker brothers did in fact call the Bee Gees to get permission to speed up Stayin' Alive by 10%, which means the majority of the crew got it. The Zucker brothers actually did not direct Airplane 2, which is why it's such a dog shit movie.
I didn't know it was bad.
Yeah, they there's a neat interview actually with Letterman from back in the 80s when this came out, where they talk about how their biggest regret in doing Airplane was not reading the contract very well and understand that they were signing away all their rights to the studio, so they did not have the rights to direct Airplane 2.
Wait.
So the studio went on and did it without them.
Really?
Yep.
Oh my god.
That's actually interesting. So wait, the directors did one, and then the studio didn't want them to... Do you know what happened? Like, did the studio not want them to do 2 or what happened?
Yeah, so if you read up on the Zucker brothers and Jim Abrams, they're kind of out there characters.
Okay.
Yeah, essentially they went through and they put all their effort into 1, and then they were like, all right, I think I'm good. And the studio's like, well, we want to do a second one. And they're like, all right, well, we don't really want to do a second one. They're like, okay, well, you signed over the rights to us, so we're going to do a second one.
So I will say, in terms of David Letterman, the fact that he wasn't cast might have actually kind of helped him out, because I don't remember Robert Hayes going on to... I don't remember him in much else outside of this movie. I'm gonna go ahead and check his IMDb page and see what else he kind of did.
Yeah, it's not the only movie with Leslie Nielsen that David Letterman would go on to try to star in. He also tried to get a role in Police Academy. Also did not work out. So it seems like the Zucker brothers had something out for Mr. David Letterman or something. I don't know.
Interesting.
You know, I think David Letterman in the long run probably ended up being more successful not being in.
Yeah, he probably worked out on top after all that. Yeah.
Looking at the rest of Robert Hayes' career, he did Airplane. He did return in the sequel. And the other notable movie that's listed on his IMDb is Superhero Movie, which was one of those terrible spoof movies.
Oh my god.
From 2000s. I'm going to say, you know, Robert Hayes might have won the battle, but I think Letterman won the war on that one.
Interesting to note, the director, Jim Abrams, was in the movie as one of the religious guys.
Really?
And Jonathan Banks, who was in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul as Mike Ehrmantraut.
Ehrmantraut?
Yeah, was also in the movie.
Really? Where was he?
He was one of... his name was Gunderson. I want to say he was one of the...
Gunderson sounds like an 80s name.
So he was one of the guys that was working in the in the tower. He was the one who they asked him how much longer, and he opened up the microwave.
Oh my god, with the turkey.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's
yeah.
Pat Sajak in the movie too.
He is? Where?
Yeah, he played an anchorman.
Yeah, which one?
He was the one reporting on the weather.
I would say I think he was the one who reported in actual English.
Yeah. Wow. Honestly, I didn't even recognize him.
Yeah, this movie was kind of chock full of different actors celebrities that you kind of didn't realize. For example, James Hong, who was the Asian guy sitting next to Stryker, who looked like he was about to. Oh, he committed seppuku. James Hong was in a bunch of different martial arts type flicks in the 1980s. He was in Big Trouble in Little China. He was in The Shadow. I think he was also in one of the Mortal Kombat movies.
We don't talk about the Mortal Kombat movies.
They're too good.
Apparently they're bad. I've never seen them.
He's one of those guys that's just... He was in this movie for so short of a time that you wouldn't recognize him, but if you actually kind of remembered his face, you would be like, oh my god, I've seen that dude somewhere else. And then you're like, oh my god, I've seen that dude in like 30 different movies because he's in so much.
Okay, so Cameron, what is your initial reaction to the movie? We said you laughed, what, 166
times.
166 times. What is your initial reaction to Airplane?
Okay, so yeah, I have a couple of thoughts. So I wasn't really sure what to expect going into it. There was a lot of gag comedy, like basically a lot of just they would do something and it would like the joke was essentially in just the gags themselves and not necessarily having to understand anything outside of it. But it was actually really funny. Like, as you said, I laughed 166 times apparently. I was not counting that. Some of the humor was a little dated. Like, there was a lot of like racial humor and like gay, like, I don't know if it was humor or like poking fun. It was hard to tell.
Yeah, some stuff didn't age great.
Yeah, there are some things in there that, it didn't age very well, especially having never seen it before and having no nostalgia factor whatsoever. There were some things that I essentially it was kind of funny, but it was at the same time like, wow, that joke would not play out at all today for sure.
Carlos, Ben, or Zach, do you have like an updated reaction to the film? Anything that you noticed that was a little dated, or you know, you don't remember exactly how you did as a child?
So I'll be honest. I said it before we started the movie. I've seen this movie a ton. I've seen it recently. I saw it long ago. I love this movie. I love all the laughs. I still catch new stuff. This time around, I didn't notice the when the plane starts to go down for like the second time, all the flight crew, or not the flight crew, but the passengers are all watching this like projector-based movie about an airplane crashing. Like, prepping them for something? I don't know. But I missed that part going around, but I don't know. I love this movie. I still think it's great.
I will say I actually kind of liked more of the PG-type jokes than the non-PG-type jokes. Like, I feel like there are so many sight gags that really don't seem adult or anything out of the... You know, just some of the stuff in the background that you don't really pay attention to, but once you notice it, really kind of catches you off guard.
Hell, you know Smoko?
Yeah. The no smoking sign. One of my favorite gags in the movie is the nun reading Boy's Life and then the boy reading Nun's Life.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Or when he asked for, when the person at the flight desk counter asked for smoking or non-smoking, he said smoking and then handed him a smoking pamphlet. Like, I don't know. Some of those gags, even though, like you said, like the PG one, like the ones actually PG and not like 1980s PG, right? Like, were like some of the funniest ones in there.
Yeah, I think the guy in the taxi with the fare just continuously running is Stryker's literally flying a plane to Chicago.
That thing hit like $11,000. I mean, go back and watch. It was like $11,200 halfway through that movie.
Yeah,
what a charge.
I just think even like when they say, the guy doing the reporters that are like, let's take some pictures, and they literally go to the wall and just start snagging pictures off the wall. I just think some of those jokes are even better than some of the ones that are really, I guess, more themed to catch adults. And mm-hmm. and maybe those ones are, you know, if you kind of have to think about the double entendre of them. But yeah, I just think some of those jokes that are really kind of kid friendly and adult friendly are just some of the funniest parts of the movie.
Yeah, I will say, even though I knew it was coming, still, the gag of them all going up to that lady and shaking her and then like slapping her and then the entire line of people behind them with like random weapons and like a gun and stuff like that was just so funny. Like that, even though I knew
the lady with the revolver in line.
Yeah. It was so funny. Yeah.
It's really interesting. The, one of the two guys, the black guys that are sitting on the airplane, one of them is Jimmy Walker, who's famous for being on Good Times, who's the guy who's always doing the dynamite.
Oh.
It's really kind of interesting that they got him through that whole movie and not once did they, you know, they didn't rely on him being the guy from Good Times throughout the entire movie. But I love the fact that he's holding, like, the boxing gloves since they're in the line to shake the lady. It's just fantastic.
I've seen celebrity cameos in movies, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar being in that movie was very interesting. Especially because I initially, when I went into the movie and saw him playing a pilot, I was like, oh, he's just playing a part in this movie. Like a pilot, but then he's like a basketball player. Like he's like himself as a he's literally himself. And then the kid comes in and is like, "You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar," and he's like, "Nah, that's not me." He's like, "Yeah, my dad says you suck," and he's like, "Don't you ever say I suck again. I'm really good. I'm really good." Okay,
I've been hearing that shit since I was at UCLA.
Right. So and then when he gets carried out in like Lakers gear and his goggles, which like all of a sudden he's in, which is, yeah, no, that was a definite, like one of the more creative uses I've seen of like a celebrity person in a movie. Like it's definitely better than like, I don't know. The thing that comes to mind is like the Ed Sheeran in Game of Thrones where he's just like randomly singing a song for like 2 minutes. And it's like, cool, it's Ed Sheeran, like, who cares? Like,
yeah, and they kill him off.
I don't care about spoiler. Yeah, and he's probably dead. But yeah, it's like, yeah, it's actually Kareem, so that, yeah, it's funny. Yeah,
I will say this movie feels like such a Mel Brooks movie without being done by Mel Brooks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it's just one of those things where, you know, the jokes are so kind of out there, and, you know, they seem, I guess, they're so aimed at themselves and blatant. I would say they're not subtle. They're really, like, very much, like, here's the joke, and it kind of is there to punch you in the face. It very much seems like something Mel Brooks would do without being a Mel Brooks movie.
I wish I had not seen Spaceballs many times over, because I would love to be able to watch Spaceballs again, because God, it's just such a funny movie to me. It's so great, because like you said, like, the gags are there, and it's very, like, it's kind of in your face, where you're kind of like, this is the joke, but it's still funny. Like, it's not like, it's not pushy. It's just like, oh, this is the joke, and it's very obvious, but it's still funny.
You're in luck, Cameron, because I think Blazing Saddles is on the list.
Oh, my God. Another movie.
Is that a Mel Brooks movie? I haven't seen it.
It is.
Oh,
with okay. much more humor that hasn't aged well.
Ooh.
And what, is it 1980s PG-13?
Yeah, it's
is
not
it PG-13?
PG.
It's PG-13? It was after the rating change?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Because they added... I just remember some of the jokes in Blazing Saddles were rough.
They added the age. When did they add PG-13? Was it because... If I remember vaguely, it's because of one of the Indiana Jones movies, right? Like, they added it because of one of those movies, I think.
Look at this guy being a film buff. A whole podcast about him not
I could be
movies,
wrong. And if
knowledge.
I'm wrong, we should totally cut this part out. But if I'm right,
oh,
then
it's
you
not
should totally
cut
put
out.
It
we in. Don't cut anything out. Everything stays in.
Oh, God.
I don't know, but Blazing Saddles came out in 1974, so...
Oh, so definitely not PG-13.
Yeah.
So 1970s PG.
Ooh.
I don't know. That's going to be rough.
Actually, it was 1970s R, so...
It was R?
Yeah, Blazing Saddles.
I mean,
Saddles
given what they said, yeah. They...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But...
it might have been PG-13 if it came out, like, later.
No.
No? Oh, never mind.
No. But back to the movie at hand. Airplane definitely kind of is, it seems that kind of Mel Brooksy kind of really laugh a minute, and the gags are very much, they're in your face, but they're still kind of subtly funny. You know, the things like Leslie Nielsen constantly, you know, don't call me Shirley. And still don't call me Shirley. You know, the jokes like that are, it's not like they're hidden in any way, but they're still very much something that gets you every time you see it or hear it.
Yeah, I think what makes this movie hit so hard is that, like Lloyd Bridges, Peter Graves, Leslie Nielsen, they were all known for doing, like, very serious type roles before Airplane came out. This was, like, their first real comedic bit. So they played, like, the straight man in all of their own projects. And then, like, you put Leslie Nielsen in, like, oh, yeah, you're going to play the straight man, but it's going to be a comedy. And, like, we're just going to mold the comedy around the things you say and just deliver every line as if it was not funny. And it comes out perfectly hilarious. Everything the guy says is so funny in this movie.
Yeah, he really stole this, like, show in a lot of the scenes he was in. And, like, just that deadpan humor of just, like... You know, like you said, he says every line as if he is 100% serious, and yeah, that just adds to it being, like, funny.
I just want you to know, we're all counting on you.
Yeah, he says that, like, three times, even after they've already landed.
And that line is just so good that line itself just aged very well, because it's also used in Scary Movie 3, I believe.
So, Cameron, do you think this comedy still holds up today, or has it outdated itself?
I think it holds up today with a grain of salt. So I think it's still a hilarious movie. It's definitely still worth a watch. However, so the Looney Tunes have had this thing in their if you go back and watch some of their older ones where they actually have like a disclaimer before the movies that say, or their TV show that say like, you know, these were from a previous time, you know, so keep that in mind. I think this is still a hilarious movie, but you have to keep in mind that this was made in like 1979, 1980. And so like some of the humor is a little dated, like some of the stereotypes are a little dated, but overall I think it still holds up. Like it's still a hilarious movie. And as long as you go into it knowing that like it comes from a different time, then I think it still holds up.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. It, you know, it, I know in our last, you know, maiden voyage with Jurassic Park, we talked about some of the things not holding up as well. I think this movie kind of dates itself a little bit more, especially with the culture we have now. I definitely think some of the jokes you could not get away with using in the way that they did back then. But at the same time, I did appreciate how they kind of took their shots at everyone. You know, they didn't really single out a specific group, but I do agree. Yeah, some of the jokes in that definitely kind of would not fly today, pun intended, as well as they did.
Oh, no. Our first awful dad joke. You can write into cocktailsandclassics@gmail.com to complain about all the dad jokes. I know Dylan was responsible for the last one. Ben got this one. Write them tons of hate mail. We'll definitely read it on the air. This movie was edgy when it came out. Like, the Zucker brothers fought hard for that PG title. Like, for Christ's sake, there's like a topless scene. For no reason. For absolutely no reason whatsoever. There's just a blonde woman who runs across the screen topless, and we're like...
I think that's just where, like, a lot of, like, the... You gotta just kind of single out, like, which jokes you can still appreciate. Like, obviously now, for people, like, in our age group who might watch a movie like this. Because, I mean, you also think about the humor that's in a lot of the movies that we see nowadays and what that's gonna look like 40 years from now. And how the humor now is gonna date itself. But, you know, and I'm sure down the road, people are gonna be picking and choosing... Like, you know, other movies, I'm thinking, you know, like your classic, like your Adam Sandler movies, your Will Ferrell movies, like, and how the humor like holds up down the road when once it's kind of like a new era, and you know, new era of comedy, and you know, for now it's kind of what Ben said earlier about picking and choosing, like that there are a lot of jokes that are still like, you know, they're humorous, they're tasteful, and they're not, you know, overtly, I guess, like, you know, they're not like overtly taking away from the, you know, taking away from like the atmosphere of the movie itself.
Are there any memes or pop culture influences, Cameron, that you now have learned the origin of?
Yeah, so there were a couple that I saw. Like I said before, we did this thing, the one with the slapping. I think I've seen memes of the guy really sweaty, which, as a side point, there was a lot of sweat in this movie. Like, really weirdly amount.
Well, a solid amount. Like, a good amount. Not a bad amount.
No, yeah. No, it's a good amount. But
we've seen sweaty movies.
Like, Stryker at the very end was just, like, drenched in sweat, which I thought was funny. But yeah, like, the Don't Call Me Shirley and stuff like that. Definitely, yeah. So there are some good memes in there.
Can we call out an elephant in the room?
What's that?
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Oh my god!
You ever been in a Turkish prison?
Yeah. The
Cameron, do you like movies with gladiators?
The random questions that this pilot was just like asking this like child.
A child, yeah.
Child was it was funny. It was hilarious. Just like random like non sequitur questions. That were just like, why would you ask a child this? What is the con? Like, yeah, no, that was funny.
Yeah, some of it's good. Like the Girl Scouts fighting in the bar. They're clearly played by like 35-year-old men. Yeah. Slamming bar tops on each other and getting dragged across the bar. Some of it's solid.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of it's solid. Yeah.
I would say that, yeah, I think, like I said, the jokes that hold up most, I think, are the ones that are, I don't know that I would necessarily say the ones that are PG, because some of them are a little bit more adult, you know, you wouldn't catch them as a kid watching this movie, But I think the ones that are a little bit more, I guess I would use the word woke to describe them, you know, they're not really, like, offensive to anyone, I still think are the best jokes in the movie. You know, I don't get me wrong, they're typically, you know, a lot of them are, like, the ones where she's blowing up the... She's blowing Otto up on air pilot, so it looks like she's giving him, you know,
what, Ben?
It looks like she's
giving him.
It looks like she's giving him oral.
Fellatio is the proper term.
Yes,
scientific term.
It looks like she's fellating the autopilot. But
the technical term is head.
But you know, it doesn't really. I won't say it's not offensive to anyone, but, you know, as an adult watching the movie, you know, it kind of, that humor can appeal to most anyone. It's not really, you know, aimed at a specific group of people. And I think those are, you know, some of the jokes that are really still funny that don't have to be as offensive that still hold up.
Okay, Carlos, give us your rating before you watched it, and then give us your rating after watching it most recently.
Probably before watching it was going off of just pure memory, which, again, was years ago of seeing it. So before watching, probably around like a 6, honestly, just because I just couldn't remember almost anything from the movie too much. So actually getting a chance to rewatch it was... I mean, there was a lot of new stuff that now I'm obviously noticing, but so I gave it a 6 to start, and then after the movie, I'm gonna give it a 7, just because like I appreciate like the gag humor and the fun, like, you know, the fun jokes and stuff that they throw into the movie. Not obviously keen on like the stuff that doesn't hold up for today's standards, you know, in terms of like social humor and stereotypes and things like that. Not too cool with it. Not cool with it, but as far as like you know, the quality of the movie, I would put it at like a 7.5. You know, just because like, yeah, there was a plot, there was jokes in the plot, there's side jokes, you know, aside from the plot. And you know, I also think about like, you know, what this podcast is, it's Cocktails and Classics, and considering it as a classic movie, I'm, you know, in my mind, a classic is something like I'm going to want to watch, you know, now, 10 years from now, 30 years from now, whatever, so on. And I just don't know if I see it, at least, you know, that far down the road. Like we said, you know, kind of our discussion was how this humor holds up. And, you know, I'm sure some of the light humor will hold up just fine. And some of like the classic lines of, you know, like Leslie Nielsen and stuff will hold up just fine. But I can't see some of the humor holding up, like, you know, much longer as compared to the evolving comedy movies that we keep seeing now. So that's why I just give it a 7.5. I mean, it's still entertaining nonetheless. You know, just as far as like, you know, classicalness goes. I don't know. It's hard to kind of hypothesize how it would do, you know, 30 or 40 years from now.
All right, Cam. So after watching the movie, what rating would you give it?
Yeah, so I actually have 2 ratings for this movie in my head. So as a comedy movie, I think it actually is like an 8.5. So thought it was funny, really hilarious movie, laughed a lot. And I'd put it up there with some of the funnier movies that I've seen in general. As a movie in general, just as like, you know, a cinematic experience, I'd actually rate it a little lower at like 7 or 7.5. And so I'd split the difference at 8. I thought it was a really funny movie. There were parts that dated it, but again, I would still recommend people watch it. It's a funny movie.
All right, cool. Ben, give us your rating before the movie, and then give us your rating immediately after watching it most recently.
Yeah, so going into the movie, going off of memory, I had given it a 9 out of 10. I just remember it being a movie that really kind of keeps you laughing from the start of it to the end of it, and there's stuff that you really kind of pay attention to, and it keeps you kind of moving from joke to joke.
you know, by the time you kind of finish laughing at one joke, it's hitting you with another one. On this rewatch, I actually kind of bumped it down from a 9.
Wow, you had it at a 9.
Yeah, I had given it, I remembered it being one of those movies that I really just kind of remember just laugh after laugh after laugh. And it don't get me wrong, it still keeps you laughing throughout the entire movie. But I'd bump it down to an 8 or maybe even a 7.5. Between some of the dialogue between Ted Stryker and Elaine, the acting's kind of cringy. Like it seems like they're very much trying to act, and I don't know if that was part of the direction, or you know, if they were aiming because they kind of wanted it to be a spoof movie to seem that way. But some of the dialogue between the two of them does not hold very well. It's really just, it seems very forced. So that kind of dinged it down a little bit. I mean, look, obviously it's a 1980 movie, so you know, you can't really hold it up to what today's production standards are, so I'm not gonna really, you know, have it take a hit on that. Some of the jokes that they made date it a little bit. You know, we talked about the last episode with Jurassic Park, how some of the dialogue, you know, it's for its time. Airplane, very much some of the jokes are for its time. They don't really catch up with 2020. But yeah, I still think it's one of those movies that really, it keeps you laughing. It keeps you moving from joke to joke. It's really not a movie you watch for the plot of the movie. It's one of the movies you watch for the jokes that move you along the plot. So yeah, I think an 8 out of 10 still holds if you're watching it for what it is. If you're rating it for a comedy movie that keeps you laughing, that really kind of keeps you, and it's a movie that you can rewatch. You can watch it more than once, just to catch the jokes that you missed. So yeah, I think an 8 out of 10 holds. It's not the 9 out of 10 I remember it being, but I still think it definitely deserves to be on a must-watch list. So Zach, give us your rating before and after, and what changed or what didn't.
Yeah, so similar to you, before the movie, I was giving this a 9 out of 10. It's so funny. There's so many laughs that keep you coming back. And like everybody's touched on so far, you can watch this movie 100 times and pick up 100 brand new things. There's so much good humor in this movie. I did bring my rating down after watching it, just because we are reviewing the classics, we're reviewing the best of the best movies. And if we were reviewing just the best comedies, this has to be up there in terms of, like, for what it was at the time, the funniest movies. This is in that conversation, but if we're looking at the conversation of what are the most classic movies, what are the best movies, this movie not really having a plot, the dialogue, again, like Ben, like you touched on, are they trying to sound awkward? Are they trying to be campy, or is it just the 1980s and they were trying to be super serious and then not super serious? You're not sure. So like before watching the movie, I was going to give it a 9. After watching it most recently with a more critical eye, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Wow.
It's still
2 points
it's
lower,
still
huh?
So funny. It's such a funny movie. But I think Ben summed it up best. This is something you can put on and you can laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. But it's not necessarily the greatest movie ever. Carlos touched on the humors. It's getting a little dated. In 20 years, who knows how much is going to be left of like something you can sit back and enjoy. But it is funny. It's just not a fantastic movie, if that makes sense.
This is one of those movies that I will eventually want to come back to and watch again, because I think even now, like when I watch it again, even though I was like paying attention a lot and trying to pick up on things, watching it again, I'm sure I'll pick up on a bunch of jokes that I missed. So yeah, Dylan, What did you think? What was your rating before, and what do you think you'd rate it after you saw it just now?
I would say that my rating for this film changed. Beforehand, I probably gave it a 9 out of 10. I still love this movie. It's a great comedy, but some of the humor is definitely dated. Some of the racial humor, some of the suicide jokes is definitely not PC in today's date. Now, I still think the film is a classic film, but my rating, I think, dropped from a 9 out of 10 beforehand, just based off nostalgia and memory, to probably around a 7, 7.5, just purely based on it still makes me laugh out loud every time. Just so many jokes, you're always finding something new, but it's a little dated as far as the humor.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Cocktails and Classics on the movie Airplane. Again, I'm Cameron, here with Ben, Dylan, Zach, and Carlos. Don't forget to rate and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Check us out on Instagram at Cocktails and Classics Pod, or on Twitter at Cocktails Class. Post, send, and tag us in your drink photos or your movie recommendations, and use the hashtag Cocktails and Classics. Share us with your friends, and until next time, watch responsibly.